Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Today, we are concluding my most recent interview with John Meacham. John is a person who has a unique background in ministry, but at the same time, he has had a what I like to call a direct download, a vision and spiritual experience with the Lord that has changed his life forever. And he's been sharing that with us. His calling is to prepare the body of Christ, the church, for the soon return of the Lord. And what he has been doing is sharing with us what he received from the Lord. You're familiar with the book of Revelation and the seven letters to the, or the letters to the seven churches. Well, he has these new messages, the seven messages to the modern church, and he has been sharing that with us. We've gone through messages one and two, and now we're into message number three. And yesterday we started it. Today we're going to conclude this interview with John Meacham concerning this third message to the church, which is fighting against false teaching, the fight against false teaching. And if you missed any of yesterday's episode, go back and catch up. And, you know, then what we're about to do here will make complete sense. We're just going to rewind just a little bit for you so that you don't get completely left in the dark. The question we're starting off with is, what is going on with the churches? Why aren't the churches, why are not the pastors in the churches standing up for what is right and standing against the evil? And that's where we're going to pick up this questioning with John Meacham. So I'll be back on the other side. Here is the continuing interview, Fight Against False Teaching, Jesus' third message to the modern church with John Meacham. You know, instead of being submissive to the worldly system, you know, they seem like, well, you know, we don't want to get involved with politics. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to offend people by taking such a drastic stand. But yet we're told to be light shining into the darkness. You know, there's, you know, you can't have darkness and light at the same time. You know, it's one or the other.
No. And unfortunately, people in the pulpits have become apostate. I think I told you the man who helped me with Is Your Church Heavenly is a very knowledgeable theologian. He taught me the word apostate, which means we've turned away from Christianity back to the world. And I go on here in the sermon and say, brothers and sisters, knowing that we should stand and fight, why do we sit idly in the pews and do nothing?
That's right.
When Jesus died for our sins, brothers and sisters, why do we sit silently in the pews when we know that Jesus is pleading our case with God? Brothers and sisters, why do we sit idly in the pews when we know that Jesus works hard on our heavenly home? Do we only want the easy earthly life? Do we only want the pleasures of this world? Do we only want the beautiful house on the hill that we all dream of? Pastor Bob, why are we unwilling to stand up and fight for Jesus, knowing, as you and I do, that the pastors in the pulpits have turned the other way? Why are the people in the pews sitting there and doing nothing?
Exactly. And the reason they're doing nothing is because they haven't been taught the Word of God. You know, that, we covered last time a little bit how I get so angry sometimes when I go into these other churches that, you know, it's not my church. I'm not a member of the church. I'm just there, you know, representing the radio station. But sometimes it makes me so mad I want to leave there and, you know, put a bluntly puke because of the garbage and their rants. I mean, I know I'm stepping on some spiritual toes out there, but, you know, I've been praying about this. The Lord has focused me like a laser on this topic for 2019. I've been praying about, and 2019 is the year I've sensed from the Lord to expose what I call the lies of the church, to expose basically the failure of the American church to expose how the American church has basically sold its soul to the devil and is allowing the sheep to be slaughtered left and right. And it's not going to be a popular message. I get that.
No. You will be fought tooth and nail.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me.
The Lord has told me.
Let me remind you that you get encouragement for the Lord. For right here, the next line in the sermon is, once again, Jesus declares, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline.
Yeah, exactly.
Be in earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and join my congregation. Pastor Bob, Jesus wants back in the church, and you're one of the people he's asking to help him get back in.
Exactly. That's what I sense as well. Because, you know, I mean, I'm already taking flack, and it's only at the time of this recording, we just had the first Sunday of the 2019 year, and I'm already taking flack. So that tells me I have hit a spiritual nerve that basically runs right through some pastor's heart and unfortunately is connected directly to the devil. I mean, God is trying to, as you just said, those whom he loves, he rebukes and disciplines. He's trying to catch their attention, like, look at what you've been doing all these years, and let's refocus on the Word, not on
amen. You know, this dilemma of sexual preference and sexual pleasure has perplexed humanity since Adam and Eve faced the snake in the garden.
Yep.
Where do we start, I ask? How do we proceed? Who has the right answer? Well, I'm going to do the Pastor Bob. I'm going to go to the Bible.
Amen.
And let's talk about same-sex marriage for a minute, because that's one of the huge problems in the church that has taken the church away from the Word to the world.
Yep.
Well, it's real clear. God says a man leaves his mother and father and is united with his wife, and they become one.
That's
Genesis 2:24. Jesus answered. Now, this really hit me this morning when I was looking over my notes. Jesus answered. He's still answering us today.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't you read the scripture that says that in the beginning, the Creator made people male and female, and God said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and unite with his wife, and the two will become one. Matthew 19:4-5. Pastor Bob, how can anybody who says he follows or she follows Jesus Christ perform a same-sex marriage in light of that scripture?
Exactly. Well, now, brother, you know, times have changed from biblical times,
But the Bible hasn't changed. Nobody,
exactly.
God did not appear to some reformed theologian and said, here, go and rewrite the Bibles and take those passages out. That didn't happen.
That's right. That is 100% truth, folks. The Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is God, so he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're born again, you are recreated in the image of Christ, who's in the image of God. So, folks, we are the same yesterday, today, and forever, if you are born again. I mean,
you know, Pastor Bob, that is such a critical point that I can't make that point strong enough, because I'll be honest with you, I'm even starting to understand how critical that is to the dilemma the church faces today. You line up a group of 25 pastors and you ask all of them, tell me the date you were born again and explain what happened. I'm not sure any of them could.
Yeah, there are very few. By the way, January 25th, 1992, in a little empty apartment in Columbus, Georgia, at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time. I can take you to the spot it happened.
Do you know what that date is?
What's that?
January 25th, my first trip to Galilee. That was the day I waited for Jesus to come to the earth and stone stage, was January the 25th.
Amen.
And you know, mine, 10:24:82, you've got to experience that, because as we've said, these are spiritual acts that we accept by faith. But as Americans, and I want to focus this word on Americans,
amen,
we only want physical acts that we can accept with facts or some type of intellectual development. A spiritual life is not like that. When you're born again, this whole new life starts and everything becomes unpredictable. but you're living on the
life.
Oh,
that's an understatement.
of the Holy Spirit. It is. It's unpredictable.
Amen.
You know, somebody asked me, one of my favorite movies is this line, and it says, it's a mystery. Well, let me tell you what, Christianity, as I've said before, was the greatest of all the mystery religions. It's a mystery. I tell my granddaughter, when we go to church, she says, Pop, what does God think about this and that? Why? I said, Claire, it's a mystery. I don't know. But it is. I mean, when you live a life on the wind of the Holy Spirit after spiritual birth, it is a mystery, but it is a glorious mystery. In it, you receive the grace of God. You hear the word of God. You live for the love of God. You live through the peace and salvation. And ultimately, Pastor Bob, the most special blessing as humans we get is this hope of heaven. I can't tell you the number of funerals I preached. Mm. People were shattered with grief, but there was this hope.
Yeah.
My loved one is in a better place, and I'm going to be there with them because we both believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing else in this life offers you that hope except Jesus Christ.
Amen. Sometimes that is the only thing that will keep someone grounded when basically all hell breaks loose around them, you know, and it's just that I know God is in charge. And
amen.
That's where you hold, you drive your stake in the ground, and the winds and the rain and the floods and everything comes around you, and you're just holding on to that one stake. I know God is in charge. And he will not put more upon me than I am able to bear. So right now I put my rest in Jesus, and I just thank him for the victory right now. And when you make that determination, folks, that's it. And whether you live or die, it doesn't matter. You're not going to let go of that stake. Your victory is right there. It is right there.
Well, in the sermon, Pastor Bob, if I could jump back in there for a minute, Jesus says, I can make you right with yourself and get you ready.
Amen.
To meet me face to face on the Mount of Beatitudes or in the loving realm of heaven. Jesus says, believe in me. But Pastor Bob, just like the Israelites did, the people grumble. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I am the word, and the people today grumble.
Yep.
Jesus says, I am the light, and the people grumble.
Yeah.
God's people grumbled at Jesus, even as the Israelites grumbled about their life in the desert. Then God sent poisonous snakes to kill them. The poisonous snakes kept biting the Israelites until Moses finally cries out, save your people. Then at the Lord's instruction, Moses made a bronze snake and attached the snake to a pole. And when the Israelites looked upon the snake on the pole, they were healed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says in John 3:14-15, look on that snake, look upon the pole in the desert, look upon me. Because you've got to remember, those snakes are still out there in the world today. They're biting people on their heels, on their legs, on their hands, on their arms, on their faces, in their minds, in their hearts, and in their souls. And unlike the Israelites in the desert, the people of today do not realize that the diagnosis for a sin bite is death. For they refuse to look upon the face of Jesus and believe in him in order to be healed.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike the Israelites, who looked upon the bronze snake on the pole in the desert, and they were saved.
Amen. Amen. And you know, let's look at that for a second, because of all the problems they were encountering, and the snakes just running rampant through their camp and all that, well, Moses said, look on the bronze snake up here on this pole that I put up here, and you'll be healed if you're bitten by one of these poisonous, venomous vipers. I can hear people say, that makes absolutely no sense. Why would we do that? You know, we need medicine. We need, you know, but those who believed, those who obeyed, did what? They got their healing and they were saved.
Amen.
Those who said, I'm not doing that. That is stupid. I don't understand it. I don't care what Moses said. I'm not going to do it. Well, they end up dying. So,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that we hear the same thing in churches today. Well, okay, since we're talking about churches, I'll leave it like that. But we hear the same thing in America today. that Christianity stuff doesn't make
sense. Don't leave it like that, because this sermon closes with a call from Christ to pastors.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, we hear that Christian message, that may have been fine, you know, a couple hundred years ago, but, you know, this is a modern era, and we all know there's different religions, and there's different ways to heaven, and all this stuff, you know.
Let me share with you Christ's call to church pastors today. Church pastors need to speak from every pulpit and warn Christ's congregation of the perils of following the ways of the world and not following the ways of the Lord. Church pastors, don't be like Jonah and board a ship going in the opposite direction when Christ calls upon you to condemn the ways of the world. Yeah. Church pastors, be like Paul, dedicated to preaching, teaching, and writing about Jesus Christ so that an ever-increasing number of people will hear the Word of God and be saved from the sin bites that can condemn them to eternal damnation.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's true. Man.
Oh, it is true. It is true. I mean, church pastors have to turn away from the careers that have called them, and they have to turn back to Jesus Christ, who is calling them. And in closing, Pastor Bob, I'd like to remind folks that we in the pews have to do the same things for brothers and sisters. Jesus is asking all of us, are you ready to stand up and fight for me?
Yeah.
He's asking each of us, have you put on the clean white clothes of heaven? Have you enlisted in the armies of heaven? And are you ready to help me prepare Christian churches for my second coming to the church of the multiplication of loaves and fishes in Galilee?
Amen.
Pastor Bob, for church pastors, every church pastor listening to this, every church member listening to this, Christ asks, are you ready to fight against false teaching?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, let me clarify one thing, you know, because we harped a lot on false teaching in the churches here in this episode. I have no doubt these pastors are born again. No doubt. You know, I mean, it may sound like we were questioning that, but I believe that they are. There may be a few who, you know, are wolves in sheep's clothing, but I have no doubt that, you know, whatever percentage, 90% or whatever, are true born again believers. But they
become
influenced.
I disagree with you.
Well, I'll have to be honest. Okay,
I disagree with you, because most of the denominational pastors that I've come across in my ministry are not born again. I've even been in Bible discussion where a pastor was teaching about John 3, about being born again, and he even told the group, I don't know what this means.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's terrible.
There are a lot of denominational ministers that are not born again.
Yeah.
They did well in college, and they went to divinity school as an educational pursuit, and they are not born again.
That is absolutely terrible. Because I know that, you know, many of them have been influenced basically by worldly lusts, worldly fame, worldly riches, and they're trying to be politically correct in everything they do. We're not called to be politically correct. We're called to be biblically correct, you know?
No, and I would venture to say, if you take a survey of denominational ministers, 100 of them, 75% of them are not born again, and probably more than that. Denominational.
Wow. That is
just send a questionnaire out to denominational ministers and ask them, are you born again? What was the day? And let me know about your experience. And I'll guarantee they will come back void.
I wouldn't doubt that. I was going to say, I'd put that out there, and they know Satan's not stupid. And if this particular pastor in a particular church is working for him, unbeknownst to him or not, and he gets something like that, are you born again? Oh, of course I'm born again. Absolutely.
Give me the date and tell me the experience.
Years, you know? Oh, yeah, I know.
Give me the date and tell me the experience.
Yeah, I've preached that before. I said, if you don't know when you were born again, other than...
then you're not born again.
Yeah, exactly. I said, because the night that happened to me, January 25th, 1992, at 11:35.
Oh, I love that it's that date. That's such a meaningful date in my life. Now it's even more special because it's the day you were born again.
Amen.
You don't have any idea how much that means to me.
But I mean, my life was invaded by God that night, and it's never been the same since.
My life has never been the same since I was born again. Yep,
I know. I mean, you could put a gun to my head, say recant it, or else I say, see ya, because I am not going to recant.
I'll leave you with one final thought about pastors and born again.
All right.
If you're born again, how can you enter the ministry as a career?
Exactly.
To make money? You can't do it. It doesn't work. If you're born again, you're entering the ministry as a call from Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. And there are many pastors. Let's just not limit it to pastors. There are many people in the ministry who are doing it as
a job.
A job, a career.
To make a paycheck.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And they don't realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that they could get that paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah,
they don't realize they're working for Jesus Christ, and they don't even accept that.
Right, exactly. And when they get that 2 a.m. call, when they get the request to come and do something on a weekend when, you know, they just wanted to take, you know, go fishing or whatever, folks, being in the ministry means you're on call from Jesus, 24 hours a day. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been woke up in the middle of the night and unable to go back to sleep. And usually when that's the case, it's get up and pray. It's time
exactly.
to pray. You know?
Exactly.
And I say,
you got a
Lord,
message from above.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to get up and
you got a message. You remember when all the Jesus says comes to me, don't you? 2:19 a.m. is when the Jesus says comes to me. I can't tell you the nights I go to bed saying, do I really have to do this again tomorrow? But the very next day when I get out of the bed, I put my feet on the floor and I say, Christ in me, Christ in the world. Yes, you got to do this again today.
Amen. Amen. John, tell us about the armies of heaven real quick.
Well, I'm calling people to join an effort to, as you say, to get Christianity back to its original form. And I've got as our first concrete group objective is, and we've mentioned this before, let's get Jesus out of the secular celebration of Christmas. Let's move him in the church back to September when he was born. Let's do Advent at the first of the church year in September. Let's recognize Jesus' birth. And let's get away from all of the lies and all of the false teaching that have become tied to Christmas. Let's just get back to Jesus' birth. The story of Mary, the story of Joseph, the story of the shepherds, the story of the angels. Let's get Christmas back to a celebration of Jesus' birth where the church message is similar to the Easter message. It's a story about what happened to Jesus Christ and how the world changed because of that. Let's get away from all the secular celebration of Christmas. Like I've said, if society still wants to do 12/25, the day that Saturnalia was changed to Christmas by Constantine in 336 A.D., that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, if Walmart and Target and Amazon want to keep doing Christmas, that's fine. But in the church, and you and I have said this over and over, in the church, let's get back to Jesus. That's the first step. If we go out into the world and tell them doing Christmas at 12/25 is wrong and we're taking it to Jesus' real birthday on 9/19 in the churches, we do away immediately with a lot of false teaching and we get back to the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ, just like we're already recognizing the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. You know, I told you about the direction the Lord's given me for preaching this year. And this past Sunday, I was giving, the entire sermon was devoted on how the calendar we use came into being. And
wonderful. Cool.
It was, because...
That's a powerful message.
Oh, it went the whole hour, that's for sure.
That's wonderful. That's great. Congratulations. I like that.
I didn't go into, you know, the changes on the birthday of Jesus like you do, because I'm not...
No, that's okay, but you're getting people's minds in the right place. Yeah. We need to rethink the way we live now, particularly in America, and realize that Satan has taken all of us and through the power of greed have made us something else. that we did not even want to be, and most of us don't even realize it's happened to us.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, because it was January 25th was started in Western Europe as the birthday of Jesus, but Eastern Europe celebrated January 6th as the holiest day, and in order to reconcile all that, they decided to make every day of those 12 days.
Do you know what confirms to me that 9/19 is it?
What's that?
Do you know what confirms to me that 9/19 is his birthday? 9/19/03 BC.
What's that?
Because God revealed it to me in a dream. There was no mathematical formula. There was no figuring it out from this or that. It's just like God told Joseph, get up and take Mary to Egypt. God speaks to people in dreams and visions. And I got that message in a dream. It's not a physically verifiable fact. It's just a dream of spiritual information as an act of faith that God is trying to tell people, this is it, and you need to recognize this and get away, particularly in America, from all this 1225 stuff.
Amen. Amen. That's absolutely true. Folks, we are all out of time for today. Glory to God. It's been good, John. How can someone get a hold of you if they have a question or they want to do an interview with you? How can they get in touch with you?
DazzlingLight.org, my website, and on the website is my email address, john@dazzlinglight.org, and I will answer them anytime, day or night.
Amen. Folks, you need to go to John's website, DazzlingLight.org. You need to sign up to get his daily email, his daily Twitter feed that comes out. I mean, it will keep you rooted and grounded. It gives you that inspiration to make it through the day. In this day and time, with so much going on around us, it is imperative that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word. Not in the world, not in what worldly pastors are trying to, we already talked about that, so I'm not going to take your time to go over all again. We need to stay rooted and grounded in the Word. Jesus said He is the Word. John chapter 1, He is the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Hallelujah. And folks, if you stay rooted and grounded in Him, it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You will overcome it every time. And if perhaps, in God's infinite wisdom, you are not overcoming this time and you die because of your beliefs, you're ushered right into the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, you win-win. It's a win-win no matter what happens. You're either going to win over the devil or you're going to win over the devil.
Amen.
Folks, that is all. I told you this was going to be good. Every time we get together, it's good, John. And I believe, folks, I believe you heard from the Lord today. And if you're listening right now through iTunes, please leave us a rating and comment. If you're listening through our website or one of the other many platforms our programs are on, please leave a comment below. That's what the search engines use to help us to be found online, which in turn helps us to get the word out. John, I'm looking forward to our next conversation. I know that you're going to have something else good for us again. Praise God.
We got four more letters to go over, four more messages from the Lord, and four more sermons, and then we'll do the armies of heaven. But we got lots to look forward to, Pastor Bob.
Amen, amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Praise God. It's been good. For John Meach and myself, this is Pastor Robert Tibble reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.